that tonglam ne yongguyare that tonglam gole ya tonmang pangbe chawa to yongguyare
and therefore there is no true cessation at that time but at the time of the path of seeing one has a direct realization of the truth of emptiness and thus at that time there is a true cessation which is a separation from those objects to be abandoned by the path of seeing
da thomban le ji dang thomban gomban ni bu ti gomban de sengi di de thomban de kunda di de
in general on the path of meditation one is getting rid of
this sha che da nyin du sha che nyin du sengi de nyin du kunda ni sha ne da thomban ge kunda di pa ngu ya re nyin du ga sa gomlang ge sengi di pa ni
Within the context of one's getting rid of the afflictive obstructions, the main of which is the conception of inherent existence, on the path of seeing, one is getting rid of artificial or learned versions of it, whereas on the path of meditation, one is getting rid of innate versions of it.
Mm.
In any case, these are all cases of having gotten rid of these obstructions by way of their antidotes such that they will never return. In general, cessations are of two types, analytical cessations and non-analytical cessations. A non-analytical cessation is a case of an absence of something due to the non-aggregation of the causes and conditions that would produce it to the mere non-aggregation. Whereas an analytical cessation is a case of a cessation that is brought about through generating the specific antidote to that. Now, in both the paths of seeing and the paths of meditation, there are uninterrupted paths and paths of release. The uninterrupted paths serve as the actual antidotes to those afflictions. And then the meditative equipoise of either a path of seeing or a path of meditation, which has the attribute of one's having separated from of having completely separated from or been released from that particular affliction is called a path of release. Then there are many divisions of those factors that are abandoned by the paths of seeing and meditation in reference to the levels of cyclic existence. These are explained by Vasubandhu and by Asanga, but I won't be going into them here. In the Prasangika system, they consider consciousnesses conceiving of inherent existence to be afflictive obstructions. Since that is the case, they consider the obstructions to omniscience to be the predispositions established by the conception of inherent existence. However, in the Swatantra system, they consider the conception of true existence to be an afflictive obstruction.
Mm.
Therefore, the Swatantrikas are put into the difficult position of asserting that a person who has not overcome the final root of cyclic existence, that is to say, the conception of true existence, can still overcome cyclic existence. This being through overcoming the coarser conception of a self of persons. However, since in the Prasangika system, they posit the conception of the true existence or inherent existence of both persons and phenomena as the root of cyclic existence, they don't have this problem.
In the
Swatantrika system, they divide the obstructions to omniscience into 9 cycles and explain that one begins to get rid of them from the second ground on up. However, in the Prasangika system, because they posit that the conception of true or inherent existence itself is the chief afflictive obstruction, without first having gotten rid of the afflictive obstructions, it is not possible to begin getting rid of the obstructions to omniscience, which are the predispositions deposited by that conception of inherent existence. Guntang set forth an example that makes this easy to understand. If you had some vessel into which you put some onion, that onion would be depositing some of its flavor in the vessel itself. Thus, before you could clean the vessel of that flavor, you would have to remove the onion itself first. Thus, until one completely removes the afflictive obstructions, it is impossible to begin working on the removal of the obstructions to omniscience. Thus, in the Prasangika system, one does not begin overcoming the obstructions to omniscience on any of the first 7 grounds, these being called impure because one still has the afflictive obstructions. Rather, it is begun at the beginning of the 8th ground when one has overcome the afflictive obstructions. As explained earlier, in the non-prasangika systems of the Great Vehicle, a difference of grossness and subtlety is posited between the conception of the self of persons as grosser and the conception of the self of phenomena as subtler, but the non-prasangika systems do that, but the prasangikas don't.
Mm. 간사가 던지 잡아 틀다 간사가 던지려 간사 안 줬대 제수 예벌 좀 좀 받기 샤니 대왕도 제베 넘어 뒤디기 아니 넘어 차장 셰트요 include 제야 말이스
thus the prasangikas say that the conception this let's see since in these other systems the conception of a self of persons is coarser than that of a self of phenomena this coarser conception of the self of persons which is the conception of the person as being substantially existent or self-sufficient in the explanation of the afflictions which are induced by that misconception is not a full explanation of the afflictions Therefore, the prasangikas explain that an arhat or foe destroyer who has overcome the foe of the afflictions of such afflictions is not really an arhat, a foe destroyer.
So, today you do, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you,
Thus, there is an explanation of afflictive emotions that are induced by the coarser conception of self and afflictions that are induced by the subtler conception of self. Now there are many different presentations of emptiness. That emptiness which is the non-establishment of a person as substantially existent or self-sufficient, the non-establishment of subject and object as different entities, or to put that one another way, the non-establishment of forms and so forth as not naturally being the basis of the affixing of names and thoughts. Then there's the non-establishment of phenomena as not being posited through the force of appearing to a non-defective consciousness, but as being established in their own uncommon mode of subsistence. There's that emptiness of the Svatantrikas. And then there's the emptiness of the Prasangikas, which is the non-establishment of things as inherently existent, even conventionally.
So then,
how do you make a consideration of which of these is true and which of these is not? Because the emptiness of difference of entity of subject and object, which is set forth in the Chittamatra system, cannot be accepted in the Prasangika system. Because the Prasangikas assert that subject and object are what are different entities, that there are external objects. But the other types of emptiness, which the Chittamatrans assert, the Prasangikas do assert. But those are not the subtle emptiness. Then why is this?
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly explained in that while the understanding of the of one of these earlier or coarser types of emptiness is still functioning, it is possible for the opposite of these later or more subtle types of emptiness to be produced. It is possible, that while the functioning of the consciousness that understands one of the while the functioning of the consciousness that understands one of the coarser emptinesses is still working, it is possible to generate the misconceptions which are the opposite of the subtler types of emptiness. But when one generates an understanding of what these that are called the subtler type of emptiness, and while that consciousness is still functioning, it is impossible to generate any of the misconceptions associated with the opposite of the coarser types of selflessness or emptiness. Thus, if you ascertain the subtler emptiness, all of the modes of apprehension of the coarser types are, what do you say, just completely gotten rid of. For instance, even if one has ascertained that the person is not substantially established in the sense of being self-sufficient, one could still be conceiving of the person as being inherently existent or truly existent. Thus, even though a Chittamatra might realize or does realize that phenomena such as forms and so forth are not naturally established as bases of names, even while the understanding of that consciousness is still functioning, that person could conceive of the form itself to be established by way of its own nature. And even though a Swatantrika has realized that objects are not posited, are not established by way of their own uncommon mode of subsistence without being posited by appearing to a non-defective consciousness, and even during the while that consciousness, that understanding is still functioning, the person, that Swatantrika, can still conceive of the phenomenon as existing by way of its own, own inherent existence. But when one has realized that phenomena are not established under their own power, but are only nominally existent, during the functioning, while that consciousness is still functioning, it's impossible for any of those other coarser types of misconceptions to operate. Therefore, the view as it is set forth by the Prasangikas can serve as an antidote to the conceptions of all types of extremes.
텔레장 태치나 텐주야 정신지 여봤어야 하기 각자 딜레 숙셔를 치니 까비는 딱 딱가 텔레서 딱 네일즘 리줄마도 야만다
but if one negates more or refutes more than the object of negation that is as it is set forth in the prasangika system that is to say inherent existence then one has fallen to an extreme
딱 근데 우메다 취미를 들으셔야 딱 좀 세트리
Thus, this is the reason why it is said that the Madhyamaka view is the... The Prasangika view is the unmistaken view.
His Holiness now begins Wednesday afternoon.
It seems that sometimes good motivation and good intention result in bad karmic result, as in a situation where you love someone and try to help, but in fact do the opposite. It would appear that to say good motivation produces good results is an oversimplification. If one engaged in an action with a motivation to help but in fact brought about harm, then because one from one's own side had a good motivation, there would be no fault in it. No fault to oneself. Because one acted with a good motivation, there would, for oneself in the future, there would be a good result. And the harm that one brought to the other person was due to one's being obscured with respect to methods. Therefore, it is the case that a good motivation and wisdom should be put together. Therefore, it is said that a bodhisattva, even on the path of accumulation, only has a similitude of helping others. But when one has achieved the higher paths and has attained the five clairvoyances, then one can know other persons' dispositions, interests, and so forth, and thereby be able to help more effectively. Could you please talk about healing using psychic energy? I don't have much to say about this.
In
Tantra, there is some mention of engaging in rites for the sake of bringing about the cure of an illness. For that, one needs certain substances, mantra, and meditative stabilization.
So combination all these forces, then some I'm going to effect. Now you see one another is a simple one. Then malam kya? So so densi jyad dot niyare.
But then in a more simpler way, one can make prayer wishes, or something that's called the. Speaking of the power of the truth. That if such and such that I have done is true, then may it help. But then there are also cases where persons have a gift in this direction. Then this is due to actions in former lifetimes. Does suicide necessarily create greater suffering in subsequent rebirths? Suicide is described as being extremely harmful. And it is said that for someone who has taken the tantric vows, upon taking initiation in either yoga tantra or highest yoga tantra, killing oneself involves killing, has the fault of killing a deity. Now, science and logic have demonstrated that sense consciousnesses are brain phenomena. If, as you said yesterday, the grosser consciousnesses are dependent on bodily functioning, then when the brain ceases to function at death, the sense consciousnesses likewise cease to function. Their basis for functioning gone, the sense consciousnesses cannot continue as part of mind in a process of rebirth. Yet, we are born with all sense consciousnesses intact because we see, hear, smell, etc. Furthermore, the entire mind, both the gross and subtle levels, must take rebirth, not just subtle levels. Therefore, the doctrine of rebirth is damaged. So, we say, prior to analyzing the various gross and subtle levels of consciousness, maybe I should just stubbornly persist here.
Now, for example, I think you see, at the moment we are, you see, experiencing in a certain level of consciousness, a certain type of consciousness. When we are dreaming, and another kind of consciousness, which is further deeper. Then you see, without sleep, without dream, you see, deep sleep. In that moment, we are experiencing another, you see, deeper consciousness. Then when we fainted, even you see, our breathing stopped. During that moment, the further deeper consciousness experiencing. Whether you call consciousness or semi-consciousness or unconscious, I think generally may regard it as an unconscious level. You see, according to Tantric, you see, we believe still there is the consciousness. Now the deepest one, when we're passing, what called the when we're dying, that is the, you see, most subtle consciousness. So now you see here shows that when consciousness more subtle consciousness, you see, more isolated from the physical, I'd say, physical thing.
The subtlest consciousness is something that has the power to generate other consciousnesses into being entities of luminosity and knowing.
That the other thing, the other side, you see, the science about the science experiment about brain, human brain, is very, very interesting. It's very important to know. Taine anda ande tuzul ya taz lo khagore kares ben bring na da chasan ji ande shetu ga mar banda.
However, it's difficult to speak about this now because the entire, what do you say, the whole science of the brain is not known.
Still you see developing, it's progressing. Suppose you see, for a Buddhist, if through scientific experiment, that beside brain, there's no mind, no consciousness, is absolutely, if you proved, not mere, you say, unfinding, but you prove positively that beside brain there is no mind, then we have to accept. That's all.
If one has committed the act of murder through abortion without fully realizing what it actually was or what it actually means, what can one do now? We are all persons who have accumulated sins in the past.
You see, the indication is, at present, you see, we have this bad, you see, have some bad thoughts, is constantly, you see, rising or coming. Itself show that our past, you see, past long period, you see, we too much get used, too much so close with these bad thoughts.
It's said that you can tell what you were doing in the past by looking at your body now. And you can tell what will come in the future by looking at what you're doing with your mind now. Whatever we've done wrong before now, we should engage in disclosure and restraint. What do you say? Developing intention of restraint from it in the future.
Buddhist practitioner, if you see one Buddhist practitioner, then usual the Buddhist practice is what do you call it? Prostrations and reciting certain mantra, like 100 letters mantra. And one of the best, you see, best method is, how to say,
making some gifts to poor persons.
You see, ill person. So you see, usual practice, you see, the giving donation for education as well as for, you see, medical field. It is very, very great work, very great, one of the best method to gain merit.
How is Shila daily conduct related to meditation? How is daily conduct related to meditation? Yes, I'm sorry. This topic will be coming up a little later. In this country, there are many groups and books dealing with sex and tantra. Sex as a spiritual path, sex as a means by which to attain nirvana, in the traditional teaching, tantric teaching, what is the role of sex in attaining realization? What is the role of celibacy? There's a great danger of misunderstanding here.
It's a basic theory, or the tech, I think basic theory is, I mentioned before, there are, you see, different level of consciousness. So the more subtler consciousness, if we can use the subtler mind, it will, it's more forceful, you see, more, since it is subtler, so if that subtle, usually you see, when we experiencing the subtler mind, it remain sort of
non-manifest, unclear.
Unclear.
What's like unconscious or unaware.
That because you see, that's the nature of that consciousness. Shendai dima those nature that guard we are. Can nature change you want get a guard we are.
This is an instance where naturally the other grosser consciousnesses are ceasing.
Now you see, the other one, through you see, another, I say, other method or another,
through some other technique or method,
you see, deliberately, if you deliberately control or cease the gross consciousness, then do you see the subtler consciousness become active. Now, when that happened, that subtler consciousness, it become active, at the same time become very, remain very alerted, very sharp, very clear. So then you see that consciousness become transformed into wisdom, which understand shunya or selflessness. Now, in order to make that, first we should try to stop the gross consciousness. Now, in order to stop that, we have to go through the inner kasara, kam kama dutu liya.
One has to bring about a change through adjusting the movement of the white and red basic constituents.
Now here you see the sex business involved. Actually you see the union, not in the ordinary sense, ordinary sexual, but here you see the because of that, the neji kam chung ding lu gi zheng xing na dang chan.
This is by way of the structure of the body of a person, of a womb born person having the six constituents.
That the six and the kaza chu pale tobe zhesum male tobe zhesums.
There are said to be three treasures attained from the father and three attained from the mother.
The
bones, marrow, and basic, fluid are attained from the father. And the flesh, skin, and blood obtained from the mother.
Yeah,
However, there is another way of interpreting these in terms of the basic elements as well as the channels, winds, and drops.
Anyway, this is due to the special condition of this planet's human physical.
Due to changes in the elements inside the body, this brings about changes within the levels of grosser and subtler consciousnesses. For instance, when we sneeze, this kind of a change takes place very briefly. And also when one yawns. This must be a big yawn.
You see, that moment,
at this time, there's a brief change. Then it comes also at the time of falling to sleep.
That sex can't you
get. And comes during sex.
Oh, yeah. That those chenny, that didn't allow me, Kandachi nature, Sugu nature, Tony, Sheva Taral, those Kujotea, the Kugos Yetaba Dinane, that utilize Chen Sukhishi of the sex child.
Because it is our nature that these changes in the levels of grossness and subtlety of consciousness take place during these times, if one is able to utilize it, then what do you say? The changes that take place during sex are the strongest. And because of this fact, sex is used as a technique in the tantric path. So thus, a yogi in the desire realm who hasn't gotten rid of desire yet, who hasn't abandoned desire yet, first of all generates desire, a mind of attachment. And then, having generated the mind of attachment, then during the period when the constituents of the body are undergoing change. And then at that time when the gross minds are being supplanted by the subtler minds, one switches that subtlest mind and uses it to realize and puts it on emptiness, to realize emptiness. Because one consciousness cannot have two different modes of apprehension. Because one conceptual mind cannot have two different modes of apprehension. Because two conceptual consciousnesses with different modes of apprehension cannot be generated at the same time, the mind of attachment has completely disappeared.
When
the subtler consciousness is generated with the mind of attachment acting as one of the conditions for its generation, when that subtler mind is generated and it's used to realize emptiness, it turns around and harms the conception of inherent existence, which served as an aid for the generation of the attachment. Therefore, the example is used of a worm that is generated from wood turning around and eating the wood.